Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
We are back right here on the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Make sure not to miss that. Right now, we are being joined by Eric Edholm, lead draft writer for NFL.com. You can find him on social media at Eric_Edholm. Eric, it is fantastic to be chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
Good morning. What's going on up there?
Hey, it is fine. This is gonna shock you. We are not only above 0 degrees here in the Green Bay area. We are, I think, approaching in the even like teens today. We might get to the 20s today, Eric. This is a big deal for us.
My goodness. Well, I'm about 200 miles south of you, 150, 200, something like that. And when it hit zero yesterday around 3 p.m., we had a little celebration here at the house. So I feel you, man.
There you go. Well, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time. I know sure. This is a very busy time of year for you. I know it's still for a lot of people, just sort of the beginning stages of the draft process. I know for you, you're doing it all year round and you've already studied so many of these players, but I know it's still a very busy time for you. Before we get to some of the draft stuff, I actually want to start with a little bit of NFC North conversation, specifically with the Bears hiring Ben Johnson and sort of this coaching carousel that's going around. I think we expect Aaron Glenn to get poached from the Lions very shortly here. But let's start with the Bears. What did you think of their hiring of Ben Johnson and what he can bring to their organization?
Yeah, had you asked me, you know, in the fourth quarter of the week 18 game, well, I probably would have been watching the game, but all right, 5 minutes after the game was over, let's say, who the Bears are going to hire, I probably would have guessed Ben Johnson first. And then they embarked on this worldwide tour, you know, of interviews, and it reminded me so much, eerily so, of the Phil Emery, Mark Trestman combination that they landed on a decade ago. And that was my biggest worry for them. I mean, I'm not a fan. I don't care. But I mean, just, you know, from a third party perspective of, are they talking to too many people? Are they getting distracted? Are they being just, you know, the Mike McCarthy wild card option appeared out of nowhere. And so Eddie George, you know, it was all these names that you couldn't really connect one to the other. But I think they were, you know, dotting the I's, crossing the T's and, you know, underlining everything and making sure they had everything right. I don't want to give them too much credit because their searches in recent years have been pretty bad. But, you know, this is the guy that I think, most franchises, the funny part is that the Commanders thought they had him last year and had to, quote-unquote, settle for Dan Quinn. I think that one worked out pretty well for him. But we don't know if Ben Johnson can be a great head coach. Nobody knows that because he hasn't been one yet. But what we've seen from their offense – the last few years, the development, not just the cute, clever, fun trick plays, but also the synergy there. Like, there may not be one true alpha on that unit, outside of maybe Penei Sewell or something, but they have a lot of really good players that they have sort of put together in this beautiful offensive package. You know, it's creative. It's obviously something that has married the run and the pass. You know, play action is a big part of what they do. Misdirection, they formation you to death. They throw a lot at defenses. And so from a quarterback development standpoint, if you're a Bears fan worried about Caleb Williams and what's going to happen next, this is probably the best news they could have gotten. I understand Jared Goff and Caleb Williams bring different skill sets, but given what we've seen from their for the Lions scheme, I think it's easy to say that you could imagine a world where Ben Johnson is kind of licking his chops and saying, oh, trust me, I can work with this dude, right? You know, and I think so much of Caleb's rookie year, there were plenty of highs. I watched a lot of Bears football this fall and saw a lot of encouraging stuff. I really did. You know, all the Jaden Daniels talk has kind of drowned that out. And we, you know, there are people who view him as a bust, but my goodness, I think there was a trust factor that just wasn't there with the head coach, with the OC, with the new head coach, you know, the new OC, everything else. Like, it just, he kind of felt like he had to do what he did his last year at USC, which is go into hero ball mode and try to rescue everything by himself. And it just wasn't working. So if they can avoid that and build a real structure from the inside out, you know, that alone is an accomplishment. And then we'll figure out if he can be a, you know, a great game head coach and do all the other things that head coaches need to do.
Yeah, I think for that exact reason, this is one of the most important hires in Bears history, simply because they do have a massively important piece in Caleb Williams. And if this doesn't work, and Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson can't work together, this unbelievable first round pick with a, you know, sort of offensive mind that everyone wants, and man, if that doesn't work, I mean, you're probably setting this franchise back at least 5 years, and it might even be a decade where you have to tear it down again. It's going to be a new GM, a new quarterback, a new head coach, and you go through this same Chicago Bears cycle. This is such an important moment for the Bears if they want to finally get this right. Meanwhile, in Detroit, it's sort of an interesting juxtaposition of they're getting sort of robbed of all their coaching talent. We just found out that Terrell Williams, their defensive line coach, is going to go to New England to become their defensive coordinator. As we mentioned, Aaron Glenn is likely going to get a head coaching job, probably with the Jets, maybe with the Saints. We'll see. And then Ben Johnson is gone. Some other assistants could go either with Glenn or with Ben Johnson. Like this staff in Detroit is about to get completely poached, and that could have a huge effect on their franchise as well.
Yeah, when I talked to Dan Campbell after last off season, you know, I kind of asked him about, hey, Ben almost left, and we know Aaron's got a strong reputation. It was clear to me then that they were very much in the mindset and in the beginning stages of trying to identify their eventual replacements. Maybe, you know, maybe in a best-case scenario, they only lose one, but they were fully prepared for that a year plus ago. So, you know, that's the good news for Dan Campbell, too, is that obviously a big chunk of their roster is in their prime. But it's hard not, you know, we're going to make some parallels, I suspect, to what the Philadelphia Eagles endured a couple of years ago when they lost, Nick Sirianni, the two coordinators to Indy and Arizona.
Yep.
You know, and it just sort of felt like, okay, it's starting over, and they really had a hard time. You know, there was the Sean Desai, Matt Patricia disaster on defense. They, you know, they fired the OC after 1 year. That's a Super Bowl team. This is a sub-Super Bowl team, but one that I think most people recognize was at least capable of reaching the game. So a lot of parallels there. It's hard not to think that there could be a small step back or a pause in the operation, speed bump, whatever you want to say. But it could end up being disastrous, too. I mean, like as the Eagles proved, I suspect it won't be, but, you know, there was a lot of hand-wringing over hiring Johnson in the first place, too. There was a lot of, who do we know about this guy? What can he do? Who is he? You know, they're hoping they've found, you know, enough internal possibilities where they've been spending the year kind of watching all their other assistants and say, okay, this guy I think could be Ben's replacement. This guy might be Aaron Glenn's replacement, although, as you pointed out, one of them's going with Frank Bull and doing so. What they end up doing, I don't know, but yeah, I think we can't just brush this off and ignore it like, well, the Lions will be back because they're the Lions. That doesn't really work that way.
No, especially for a team that, you know, was not able to win a playoff game this year. I know injuries had a lot to do with that, sure. But I do think this is going to be a big offseason for them and kind of how they restack that room. Now, Dan Campbell, as you mentioned, has done a phenomenal job of really figuring out how to find some really talented coaches, and I'm sure he's going to do that again, but it's going to be a very interesting offseason for them. We're being joined by Eric Edholm, lead NFL draft writer at NFL.com. You can find him on social media at Eric_Edholm. Eric, before we get to the draft, really quick, I did want to ask you, and kind of just sticking with the NFC North here, the Vikings face this massively interesting offseason at quarterback, and they have Sam Darnold coming back, who looked fantastic really all season long, and then at the end of the season just really kind of came crashing down in a sort of aggressive way. And then meanwhile, they had a first round pick in JJ McCarthy, top 10 first round pick in JJ McCarthy this past season, where I think everyone expected he was going to get the starting job at some point during the year, and then he goes down with the season ending injury. You have him coming back for year two. They add Daniel Jones as a practice squad guy that I'm sure they're going to want to probably bring back as some sort of backup or depth piece on the team. Where do you see this quarterback position for Minnesota, and what would you do if you were in that building and trying to kind of figure out who you want coming back this offseason?
Yeah, I think the success that they had during the season, not only with Sam but just as a team, I think may have changed the timeline and the calculus and just how they were going to figure out their future plan. And that's a good thing to have, right? You win games, it speeds things up, it alters the, you know, there was a thought, obviously, I think around mid-season that maybe they have to re-sign this guy. Maybe they have to give him 3 years, or maybe they have to do something that's that ensures they don't let Darnold walk away for, you know, a compensatory pick a year and a half from now. So, you know, that was obviously changed, I think, given how the last two games went. You never want to, you know, completely derail what your plan is based on, you know, 120 minutes of football. But at the same time, I think we were all kind of waiting, I guess. Well, maybe I'm sort of admitting what I thought. But, I, you know, there was that thinking of, when's the other shoe going to drop with Sam? Like, he's a talented guy. I really liked him coming out of the draft. I thought, boy, this could be really exciting if he kind of harnesses everything and doesn't try to force the issue. We didn't really see that until this past season, and we saw it, you know, in about an 8-game chunk in the middle of the year. A tag and trade is a possibility. Obviously, you could just let him walk, you know, the way the Vikings did with Kirk Cousins. You know, I don't know how secure they feel about J.J. McCarthy. The good news is it was an MCL, and this is a kind of injury that happens early enough where his offseason plan should be unencumbered, and he's going to be fine, I think, as far as getting the work in. And you're right. I mean, he may have started slowly, but just prior to that injury, McCarthy was starting to push Darnold. I talked to some people up there, like, that week. I mean, I think it was 2 days before the injury happened, and they were saying, you know, watch out. He's coming. He's going to push Sam to the brink here. And so I suspect the plan is to try to turn it over to him. And like you said, Daniel Jones, kind of a wild card option, you know, sort of fits the same sort of mold, I guess, in terms of, you know, athleticism and all that. And not the strongest arm. So I think that both guys have some crossover traits. They have other guys there, too, Nick Mullins, et cetera. But yeah, I mean, I would suspect that's the hope, is that you entice a team like the Raiders, you entice a team like, you know, maybe the Giants, I don't know, whoever, Titans, if they're not convinced there's a quarterback worth taking at number one. There are a lot of options, obviously, but if I had to guess right now, they'll do that if need be, and then figure out, is there a market? Obviously, they'll probably do some homework before that, too. So
right.
You're right, though. There's a lot of big things happening in the North with all four teams, and it's a strong division until proven otherwise. But, yeah, there could be some real shakeup across the board.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really fun offseason for all these teams. They, you know, Green Bay certainly has some money to spend, and seeing how they kind of utilize that. It's just, I think we're going to see a four really different teams based on some of the turnover and changes that are going to be happening for better or worse. And it was a really interesting year where you had three of the best teams in football, not a single playoff win amongst them, which is kind of crazy as well. So we'll see if that changes in 2025. All right, again, being joined by Eric Edholm, lead NFL draft writer for NFL.com. I got to ask you a couple quick draft questions before we get you out of here. Just, you know, 10,000 foot view, 2020 NFL draft. What are the strengths? What are the weaknesses? What kind of class is this as we look at it as a whole?
Yeah, obviously, you know, a lot of people want to know about quarterbacks, maybe less so in Green Bay. It's kind of a muddled class there with some potential for sure. And, you know, I would say it's Ward and Sanders, and then there's some sort of drop, and then we'll kind of figure out the second tier. But big picture, I would say, a really deep class at running back, some pretty good receivers, but I don't think nearly the depth and breadth that we've seen at that position in the past. I don't know that there's a true blue chipper in that group. Offensive line, I need to do a little more drilling on this because people have sort of – the view I got around October, November when I made a slew of calls to directors and stuff was that there's a lot of those – outside guys who play inside guys who might have a slightly different position. You know, there's a little bit of sort of drilling down that needs to be done. But I think it's an okay offensive line class overall with some pretty good prospects. But, again, are they guards or centers? And, you know, I know that's often a topic in Green Bay, like draft college centers and then move them inside and things. Or college tackles, I mean, and move them inside. Defensive line, I think, is really good. That'll end up being one of the stronger positions. Cornerback, I think, is a strong group overall. You know, you have potential top 10 guys as well as depth that could last into day three. Some injury guys at that position, too, but linebacker safety, not quite as exciting. Safety, there's a few guys that I think are actually better than being advertised, but I would say D-line, corner, running back, and maybe interior offensive line, you could argue, are some of the deeper spots. And then sort of the questions at quarterback, I think, are fair. Not as strong a receiver class as we've had in recent years. And tight end's really good, too. I forgot that. I mean, that's another strong position. But it's a different draft. That's the way I'll say it. It's lacking in those blue chip prospects at the top, even with some real special ones like Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter.
Yeah, that's what I've kind of been hearing as well. I'm excited to dig in and see, especially around that pick 23 range, maybe some defensive linemen, corners that could be available for the Packers. But love hearing that it's a strong corner class, because that's definitely, I think, something that Green Bay is going to attack. And I think some pass rushers definitely going to be on their radar as well. Eric, are you going to be in Green Bay for the draft, or are you going to be covering it kind of from your home area?
Yeah, I usually do go to the draft. And like I said, it's only about a 3-hour drive for me. So I'm hoping to get up there. I don't know that for sure yet. I haven't even gotten my combine official invite yet, so I'll knock that one off the list first. But I will be in Mobile next week, and I'll be filing some notes from there. And look, it's such an easy drive. I'll probably just go up there even if I don't have a hotel for the night. So we'll see. I'll figure it out.
All right, that sounds great. Well, you do tremendous work. We're going to be looking forward to all of the stuff that you're going to be doing to cover the draft. What do you got coming out this week? Anything that you kind of want to plug on the way out?
Yeah, again, just some pre-Super Bowl or Senior Bowl stuff, and then obviously I've got the AFC preview for Bills Chiefs. That's going to be a big one, or so I hear. So, yep. And then it's full Senior Bowl next week until the Super Bowl.
I will make sure to give him a follow at Eric_@home. Eric, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time. You're the absolute best. Enjoy all of your draft coverage, and we will definitely do this again and talk to you soon. When we come back, we're going to be going to the phone, so get those phone calls into the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and text line, 414-677-1250. Again, which Packers free agent do you want to see stay the most this offseason? It's the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.